Okay.
I have to try to do this. This isn't the right distance to the mouth, or hope that everybody can understand me. I do this talk in English now. I hope that's okay with everybody, because the slides are also in English, so it makes a little bit of sense, I think. A little bit stupid if you change between languages. Okay, welcome to the last talk of today, I think. So we're really happy that so many of you are here now. My name is Frank Karliczek. I'm the founder of the OwnCloud project. I want to talk about basically four things today. First, I want to talk a little bit about the problem that we want to solve, because I think that if you're launching a project or a startup or an open source software in general, and there's no problem that you want to solve, then there's something wrong. I mean, if you're just inventing something because you like to invent something, that's fun, but you can't expect a lot of people use your stuff if there's not a problem that you want to solve. Then, of course, the requirements for the solution. Then a little bit about OwnCloud itself, and about a way to contribute to OwnCloud, because OwnCloud is an open source project, everybody can contribute. Okay, what's the problem? First of all, I want to say that I am not one of the tinfoil head paranoid guys. So I'm not one of the guys who think that, well, the government spies on me all the time. It's really like everybody is looking at my personal stuff all the time. I'm not one of the paranoid guys. So I really love new technology. I love the internet. I love new services. This is all cool. To be honest, I even have a Facebook account, which is not very popular at this conference here, I think. But I mean, I really love new modern things. That's really like, I love this stuff. But I think we just have to look at the facts, how the situation is. And I don't mean like today, of course also today, but also like to predict a little bit of the future, how the IT world, how the cloud space will look like in a few years. So how will be the situation in 5 to 10 years? I think in the future, basically, most of our data is stored somewhere on a server, on a machine that's connected to the internet, somewhere. And I talk about everything. I talk about my documents, obviously, but also like my photos, my contacts, calendar, bookmark things, even my location. I mean, our location is already tracked by our mobile phone companies, obviously, and there are other great location-based services that also track our location. That's very common. Even the path location, I mean, a full path of my movement through the city, every place where I am, basically all my locations. And it's not only about me, it's also about the people that I'm interacting with. So my friends, it's also like stored on a cloud service. The websites I'm visiting, the books that I read, the music I'm listening to, basically my complete digital life. My complete digital life will be in the cloud in the future. That's just a fact. And I mean, basically, we are all IT experts, so we can use other services, we can use other hardware, other software. We can try to make this a little bit more secure, like switch features off. But the general audience, like the world, the data of the people of the world will be in the cloud. That's just a trend. But we love free software, right? So we don't have a problem here. We all love that Android is free software, use Linux desktop, that's cool. On our servers, there's free software. So with free software, we can protect ourselves against this this problem with privacy, with accessing my data. That's wrong. That's not true. Because actually, the idea of Richard Stallman and in the beginning of the 80s, one of the main ideas behind free software was free software is good, because if you control the software, you also control the data, which is on the same machine. But the problem is, of course, if I'm running free software on my mobile phone, on my desktop, on my server, this doesn't mean anything if the actual data is stored somewhere else. Because I lose the control over my data, even with free software. And that's a problem. thing is that government organizations, companies, they all have access to my data. And I don't think that basically a government organization somewhere is interested in my private photos or something. I'm not important for that. That's not a point. But they can also analyze, they can cluster my data, and they can put me into groups and say, hey, this person talked to this other person with this political view. He was in this place. He read this email. He was visiting this website. I think that this guy is probably a problem in this conference here, so we don't let them in. Stuff like that. But I mean, this is only for terrorists, right? So I mean, the government that do this only to prevent terrorism and really bad crime, and we are not terrorists, we are not criminals, right? So we don't have a problem here. I mean, they can look at our data. We are nice people, that's not the point. Well, if you look at the facts, and this is, like I said, this is not like paranoid stuff. Just look at the facts. The fact is that last year, several million of connection data points from the provider Sprint, which is the smallest provider in the US, several million was like accessed by law enforcement people. Really several million. And if you extrapolate this to other providers, which are way bigger, you can say that basically everybody was already, data from everybody was already accessed by government organizations. So it's not about few terrorists here and there. This is basically everybody. But hey, this is only the US, right? I mean, the US is just, they are crazy. We are in Europe here, we are safe. Well, I think a few of you heard of the incident in Berlin, which was an incident because it became public, the fact that basically 4.2 million mobile phone connections was accessed by the Berlin police. Which is also, I don't know how many phones are in Berlin, but this also is basically everybody. Right? 37 million emails and phone connections were accessed only last year by the German Secret Service. Those are all public numbers. This is no conspiracy or anything. This is just communicated numbers. This is just the truth. So this is the fact today. But this is only today. I mean, people are, they're aggressive here. They don't know how to use new technologies. In the future, everything will be good. That's not a problem. Well, if you look at the facts again, you look what's going on with ACTA, with SOPA, with the Vorratsdatenspeicherung in Germany. Actually, things are not getting better. They're getting worse. So that people are working on that accessing the data is more easy in the future than now. So more data will be accessed. But hey, my stuff is, I don't care about privacy. I mean, post-privacy now, right? People will say, here we're in a post-privacy era. So I don't care. I mean, that's just some postings about, hey, my what I had for lunch or my holiday pictures. I don't care. I mean, people can access my stuff. That's public, and I just don't care. The thing is, we are not talking about really my holiday pictures here. That's not the point. We're talking basically really about my complete digital life, which is a big part of my life in the future. So this is about tracking my location all the time. This is about tracking all my payments. This is about listening to my conversations. There are already phones out there with voice recognition service, which transmit the sounds to a cloud service to analyze it. So I mean, basically in the future, in 1 or 2 years, I can bet, my complete conversations will be transmitted to the cloud. This will be a cool feature. I will predict this in at least 2 years. The same is with the new Samsung Galaxy S3 phone, just announced a few days ago. They have this awesome feature that they basically film you all the time, because they recognize if you look at the screen or not. Cool feature, right? So in the future, basically, everything I see will be transmitted to the cloud. All the films that I am looking all the books I'm reading, my music I'm listening to, the friends that I have. So basically my complete life will be in the cloud. So how does this future look like? I mean, like I said, I don't want to do conspiracy theories here, but I mean, this really looks like 1984 to me. Where it's basically a camera in every room, where everything I do is like filmed and accessed and analyzed. So I think we have to do something. I mean, we are the IT experts here, right? We care about privacy, we care about free software. So we have to do something. So what can we do? There are some people who say, hey, don't use social networks. Facebook is evil, don't use Facebook. Okay. Then people say, hey, cloud services are evil, just don't use cloud services. Okay. The best is, of course, you don't use computers at all, or the internet, or no phones, nothing, right? I mean, we can do that, of course. We can hack our software and switch the stuff off, and that's okay. But the people out there, they will use this stuff. And it's just, there's no way to say, hey, Facebook is evil, don't use it. This doesn't work. That's proven. People love to use this. Thanks. So this is not a solution to say, hey, this is evil. What we have to do is we have to provide a better service. That's the only solution. We have to provide a service that is as good or in an ideal world even better than the stuff that's done by the proprietary cloud providers, by the social networking companies, and so on. And the thing is, it's actually not that difficult, because what we can do and what we should do is use the internet like it was supposed to be used, in a distributed and in a federated way. Because the internet, the architecture of the internet, there's no central server, there's no central registry for users, there's no central whatever place, it's completely distributed. So all we have to do is like use the internet as it was planned in the beginning. And of course, building all these cool new features, this is also difficult. I mean, how many developers are working at Google or Facebook? A lot. Now, it's really difficult to really keep up with all the cool new features. But we have a cool thing. The cool thing is called a community. We are working together with free software. We can exchange ideas. We can work together. And this is an incredible power. Because if we are not working against each other, if you're working in the same direction, we have even more people than working in the big companies. So we can really do something cool. And that's what we want to do with OwnCloud, especially with the idea with syncing and sharing of files. Of course, other services too, I'll come back to this later. But actually the problem with the Google Drive and with the Dropbox and so on, we want to solve this with OwnCloud. So create innovative features, not copying others, like innovating ourselves, federated, and complete free software, of course. Okay, my requirements. How should a file sync and share service work in my world? First, of course, I want to have all my data under my control. I want to have it on my machine, or a machine I trust, or a machine of a friend, but not at a company. I mean, if I decide to use to work together with a company and pay them for hosting, that's fine, if I decide to do it. But I should be able to move my stuff around all the time, and I want to encrypt it, of course. But I also want to be able to host it myself. But I also want to have all the cool new cloud services, like access my stuff all the time, for my work desktop, for my notebook, for my netbook that has limited storage perhaps, for my phone, tablets, for my car, for my TV, for my coffee machine in the future. I mean, the future, it will be a connected world, where basically everybody wants to access my data somewhere, and I want to have this. I don't want to copy my stuff to Google Drive only because I want to watch the movie on my phone or something. That's stupid. I want to use it online and offline, of course. I don't want to care about backup. Backup should happen automatically. I want versioning of all my files. I want encryption of all my files. in a way that I control, so that I can say, hey, this file is now really encrypted with my personal key, only I can access it. And if I lose the key, I'm fine with losing my data too, because it's my decision. Or I can say, hey, I want to encrypt it, but also want to share it with a friend, so it's fine that this friend also has read access. That's also fine. But I want to decide this. That's my decision. It's my data. I want to share this, of course. Sharing is super, super important, because I mean, I can put my data on a hard disk and put it in a safe place that's super secure. Of course, I can't use it. So I want to be able to use my data and share it with friends. Data storage should be extendable, easy. That's just standard stuff. And of course, customization. I mean, the thing is with all these services out there, with Google and with Dropbox, you can use them as they are, and that's cool if you like them. But if you want to extend them, if you want to add a feature, if you want to look inside it, how this works, should be with free software and should be able to really look into it and customize it and extend it in any way. And of course, this is not only about files. I mean, the other stuff I mentioned, I only talk about files, but data is of course more than files. I mean, calendar entries, bookmarks, RSS feeds, this is also important data, and it's more than files. A use case. I'm working on an important document, and I want to access this document all the time. Doesn't matter if I'm sitting on my PC, if I use my tablet, if I use my smartphone, if I'm online or offline, doesn't matter. I want to access it and work on this document all the time. But I don't want to copy it on USB sticks. That's just stupid. And I want to have all the data versioned and backup all the time, super secure. This is still very difficult to achieve nowadays with standard systems. Works fine with Dropbox, of course, but I don't want to use Dropbox. I have a big document, let's say a movie, right? I want to share this with a friend, which is actually legal in Germany. How does this work? I mean, send it as an attachment of email, it doesn't work. Put it on an FTP server, well, okay, might work, but we can do this because we know what an FTP server is, but normal users don't, so we have to find a better solution. And what I want to do here is just click on a file, say right-click, and say, share with this person, and this person should get a link to this file and can download it or stream it or whatever, or edit it even if it's not a movie. It should be really easy. Next example is if you're working together with friends or with family or in your company or whatever, with a group of friends working on a shared document space, you want to have something like a shared space where you can collaborate on stuff. A lot of people use Google Docs for that, if you talk about standard text, and that's of course a cool service, but I mean, what's the future? Is the future that every piece of text that people write, that everything is at Google? I mean, is this really the vision of the future? I'm not sure. Next thing I want to, of course, stream my personal media. I mean, I'm here at the conference at the moment, and I want to access my music and my movies and everything all the time. But I don't want to copy it around, but I still want to be able to access it. I have internet here, which is fast. That's cool. Just use the internet connection to access the stuff that I own. That should be doable. And of course, I mean, in the future, we will have PCs or internet access all the time, like in a car, the TV. I mean, this will be, in a few years, this will be just standard. I still want to access all my stuff all the time. And it's crazy. I mean, we have these fast computers, we have this big hard disk, we have these big internet pipes, and this is all so difficult. I mean, we basically have two choices at the moment. We use proprietary services like Dropbox to do that, or we have to copy everything around on USB sticks or carry around portable hard disk, and that just doesn't work. I mean, we can do that, sure, but normal consumers, this is not a solution for a better world, definitely not. And we want to solve basically the file part with OwnCloud and hopefully also the other data in the future. So what is OwnCloud? OwnCloud is, first of all, it's an open source project, which was started over 2 years ago by me, and it's complete open source. It's using the AGPL license. But we also have a startup company now, which offers commercial support for OwnCloud, So if you're a company, you want to have service and support around it, customization, whatever, we can also sell this to you if you want, if you're a company and want to buy it. But as an individual, you can also take the open source version, which is completely the same code, HGPL license, also possible. You can access the stuff that you store in own cloud via a web interface, which works on desktops, on tablets, and also in the future on mobile phones. We support open standards like WebDAV, for example. You can mount it directly into your desktop as a network drive. Works on Mac, Windows, Linux without a problem. We also have a desktop syncing client that you can run on your Mac, Windows, Linux desktop. Looks really similar to the Dropbox or the Google Drive client, and it syncs the stuff that your folders that you subscribe to locally, so you can work on the stuff offline. And if you're online again, it syncs it back. We also have an Android application. Actually, we have two Android applications you can choose, and an iOS application really, really soon, in a few days, hopefully. And we support lots of open APIs. So if you want to integrate this with any software, that's really, really easy. This is a screenshot of the web interface. It's really nice. We will use modern technologies, HTML5, Ajax here. So it's really, really nice. I think Jan over there did the work, so thanks to you. Then this is a screenshot of the Android application. You can access all your files all the time from your Android phone. We have stuff like directory integration, so if you have an LDAP server, Active Directory server, whatever, we can use this to authenticate users. We can do automatic backup. You can copy everything you change on a second server, so you can distribute it over several machines, so you have backup. We also support importing of exporting of data. So as a user, you can say, hey, I don't like this server anymore. I want to move my complete stuff to a different server. It's just one click away. We have versioning, so you can access all the old versions of your file. So if you accidentally overwrite your Word document or whatever, just click on the versions and say, hey, roll back to the version from whatever, yesterday or something. And undelete, of course. We support strong encryption, Blowfish at the moment. So we have really strong, good server-side encryption, and we're working also on client-side encryption. So you don't have to trust the server. You can all your data is secure. We can share things. You can click on a file or a folder and say, hey, I want to share this data with someone on the same machine, or even send a public link to someone. And the person can just click on the link and get direct access to the data, read or write, whatever you want, and with expire dates. We can set notification if something happening. So if someone is editing a document you share, you can get notifications on the desktop by email or with push notifications on the KDE desktop, for example, at the moment. And if in the future, hopefully also on the phone. And the thing is, like I mentioned, we do more than files. I mean, files is the core of OwnCloud. But we also have a calendar, which is really nice. Looks like a Google calendar, basically, with a really nice web interface. And you can synchronize this with your Android phone, with your iOS phone, with your desktop calendar client, whatever. The same with contacts. We have a bookmark managing to synchronize with different browsers. We have a music player, really, really nice. So if you upload all your music, the music player automatically detects the files and you can play your files in the HTML5 web interface as a music player. So if I'm here in the conference and I want to listen to my music, which is at home, just click on it. And we also support a streaming API, an Ampeggy API. There are several really cool music players who also support this API, so you can stream your music over the internet directly to your client. We have a photo application. So all your data is scanned for photos and shows you nice picture galleries, so you can access your photos and also share this with people, of course. Show a nice, send a link to a nice slideshow from your vacation pictures to your parents, for example, super easy. You don't have to upload your data to Flickr to do that, or to Facebook. I mean, it's really difficult today. If you want to share your photos with your family, that's a really difficult challenge if it's too big to send by email. You have to upload it to Facebook and agree to the terms of service only to show the pictures you own to your family. So difficult today. You have to-do list application, notes application, presentation application soon, so lots of most apps are coming. We have an app concept, we have a website called apps.owncloud.com where everybody can publish new extensions, new apps, and people can download it and extend it and have additional features. But the important thing is, of course, this runs all on your own machine, right? We don't provide a service, we don't provide a server, we don't have a server. That's not what we do. We write the software and you can take it and you can put it on your own machine. And this means different things. This means if you're a Linux expert and you have a root server or something, we have packages for all major Linux distributions, you can install it and it runs on your machine. But if you're not a Linux expert, if you only have a shared web space somewhere from your university or somewhere, and you don't only are able to upload some files with FTP to this, and this server has PHP support built in, just take owncloud, unpack it, put it in a subdirectory, and it works. So this can be the storage space for you, all your personal data. You don't need to be an expert in running web servers or anything. You don't need command line access. You don't need to be root. Just put it in a subdirectory and it works. And of course, we're also working with hardware vendors that you can, in the future, hopefully buy a small box, like a plug computer, that buy it for a few euros, put it in your in a power plug at home, put it in a hard disk, and this is the space for all your digital life. So this is basically how it works. You can integrate different storage backends, like of course local storage, or if you're a Samba server, or even Amazon server, which you can use encrypted, of course, I hope. You can integrate Google storage, Google Drive, Dropbox, so you can use this to migrate your data. You integrate this all into owncloud, and then you can basically access it from all your devices. You can sync it, you can share it, just like Dropbox. An example how this can be used. You take owncloud, you install it on the machine, works on Linux, Windows, and Mac servers. You connect this to your existing file server. If you have a NAS at home or whatever, some kind of storage, you can connect it to use this. You can connect this to your existing directory service. You have an LDAP for your family or whatever. If you don't have it, that's not a problem. You can use the internal user administration too, of course. This machine has to be has to have a connection to the internet, obviously. You can work together with PageKite. You can have a tunnel of this machine to the internet, so it's accessible from your phone all the time. This works great. And then you have all the cool new features that you know from Dropbox, like syncing and sharing, and syncing your calendar from your Android phone, or sharing your pictures with your family, and so on. Downloading your files with your desktop syncing client to your work desktop and sync it back if you are back home or something like that. So this all works. You can go to demo.owncloud.org. We have a nice live demo where you don't have to sign up, just go to the URL and play around with it if you like it. And like I said, this is an open source project, right? So this is developed by a community. So everybody can contribute, and please do. This now I have a few slides of like more technical stuff, but it will be really short. We support open APIs as much as possible. So we have APIs for file access. We use WebDAV for that. So if you do an application which can talk WebDAV, you can directly integrate with owncloud. We have a key value storage, a REST base. So if you develop an application that want to synchronize whatever your high score is between different computers, or you want to synchronize RSS feeds or whatever custom data you have, we have a key value storage for that. We support a REST-based API called Open Collaboration Services for more advanced social features. We have a Qt-based library called Attica, which has a nice API, a nice connection to owncloud. So if you're developing a C++ application, and you want to integrate some backend sync and share services, just link this library and it does everything automatically. And we have a command line client called CSync that you can also put into cron jobs, or if you want to do the server based, just use the command line client and you can sync your stuff around. OwnCloud is extensible, so if you know a little bit of PHP, it's super easy to write an extension if you want this, for example, to have an ebook reader, or you want to have an application to manage your CD collection or whatever crazy stuff. Just take our example application as a starting point. We have a nice public API. You can go to api.owncloud.org. You have an overview over the API. Stuff like database access, user management, configuration stuff. This is all documented and works really easily, I think. So it's super easy to extend your own cloud. Like I said, we have an application template on Gitorious. Just look at it, nice starting point. We have a public repository called Apps Playground. Just use it for your application, play around with it, experiment how it works. If you think that it's a cool application that you're done with it, you can distribute it on apps.owncloud.com. It's like an app store, like a central repository for extensions. And if you upload it there, every OwnCloud user in the world will see this application and can directly download it inside their OwnCloud instance and say, hey, I also want to have my CD management application or whatever. And of course, we have an IRC channel, mailing list, forum. I think it's a very welcoming community. So if you have questions, come and ask. Like I said, we're looking for all kinds of contributors, PHP developers, obviously, JavaScript, CSS, Android, Mac, Windows, Linux, desktop developers, designers, usability experts, marketing. I mean, we have people in all areas, and we need help, of course, to make this even better. OwnCloud.org is the main website. You get lots of information there. You can also download the code, obviously. We will have the next major release in 2 days, OwnCloud 4. At the moment, you can download the release candidate, which is really close. But if you wait for 2 days, you get a really shiny new thing. We have all the code, obviously, publicly on Gitorious. So if you want to look at it or you want to contribute, just go to this URL. The bug tracker, we have a mailing list forum. So it's really easy to contact us. So this is now the last slide. A lot of people ask me, hey, OwnCloud is cool, lots of cool new features. But I mean, in the press, I heard this discussion about the terms of service, right? I mean, with Google Docs, they have these new terms of services now in place, which means basically everything you upload is now owned by Google. They can use it, even your private data. Dropbox has something similar. Facebook, of course, too. So what are the terms of service of OwnCloud? So how does this work? And the answer is, of course, we don't have any. Do whatever you want. That's our terms of service. It's basically your data, so it's also your decision what happens with it. So it's completely under your control, because it's actually stuff you own. And why should you give up control over the stuff you own only because you want to share or sync it over the internet? That's a stupid concept. So, thank you. I hope you have a few minutes for questions.
Yeah, hi, it sounds very great. So where's the hook? I mean, if you give me a little, one little hook, it gets a little more believable.
difficult to answer. Well, there is of course a small hook. This is, I mean, if you use Dropbox or Google, you don't have to care about the server. You just download the client and you can use it. I mean, with OwnCloud, of course, we have the problem that you have to care about the server. You can go to a service provider. We have a few linked on our website. If you trust them,
you can download it on your Debian server or whatever server you have, on your Red Hat server, install it there, but you have to care about the server, of course. It's just the concept. But if you have a friend or someone with some knowledge to install it, then you're fine. This could be like that.
Okay. How far are your syncing clients? Can you ask the problem there to sync across platform for your personal files from Linux to Windows?
Yeah, sure. The desktop syncing clients, we have version 1.02 at the moment. So we released the first version, I think, 2 months ago. It works. I wouldn't say that it's the most prettiest and stable software of the world, but it works. I mean, and we're working on it, but it works. And of course, this works cross-platform. I mean, you sync your stuff from your Windows machine to your own cloud, and you can go home and start your Linux or Mac, whatever, and sync the same files back. If they're in the same folder, just works, sure.
How much RAM does my server need? Can I put it on my NAS?
Yeah, there's lots of people who have it on their NAS. Yeah, they should work. We have some, the CPU load on the NAS might be a problem if you do stuff like encryption, for example, and you upload big files, and because we encrypt it on the fly, and you have really big files that could be slow, but you have to try it. I mean, there are NAS devices available which are great and really fast. So.
Questions?
You just mentioned many people do this and that. Do you know how many people in some are using own cloud at the moment?
Yeah, we don't really know this because we don't track this, of course. But if we look at the downloads we had over the last year, something about 400,000 downloads of the server. And this was also an own cloud was shipped of the latest part of the latest Kubuntu release, also part of the latest OpenSUSE release. So let lots of people get this over those joint channels too. So the real numbers are probably way higher. And of course we are on sites like download.com or whatever, so we can get the downloads over different channels. So we can't really say, but 7-figure numbers definitely. More questions?
You had this architecture overview slide where you showed all the data coming from Google and Amazon, whatnot. Is this possible to do this continuously? So there are many people that probably won't use OnCloud, and I have to collaborate with them. So can you integrate like a steady Dropbox syncing or anything?
Yeah, it's a very good point. The thing is that this is part of the OnCloud 4 release that we do in 2 days, but this is the feature that we mark experimental because this can be done via a configuration file, but we don't have a nice web interface GUI for this yet. So if you know how to do this in a config file, you can integrate this. And if you do, this is a live connection. So you basically have a folder called Dropbox in your home directory, you have another folder called Google in your home directory, and all the stuff from Dropbox and from Google are in these folders. And if you access them, they're in the background fetched from those services. And what you said is exactly the idea, because if you want to move users over from proprietary services to ours, we have to do a migration path. Right? And this is part of it. So if you already share stuff with people that are in Dropbox, you can still use OnCloud and access it over this directory. That's the idea. More questions? Okay, thank you.